Do you feel the chill in the air? You know, the weather outside, it's getting a little frightful. The halls are decked. I'm pretty sure I actually saw a one-horse open sleigh right down Palmer Road the other day. It was flying. I couldn't believe it. No one respects speed limits anymore, right? But do you know what this means? It is Christmas time, right? That's actually the sermon series that we're starting today. It's called Advent. It's time for Christmas. We even have these Advent booklets in the foyer. So please go check these out if you are interested. They're very, very cool. But Advent, it's time for Christmas. See, I'm already just instinctually looking to the side. It's behind me now. This is lovely. So Christmas time, right? It's about shopping. It's about things getting done that are supposed to be getting done, but then they're not getting done. And it's about travel and family. And all of a sudden, all of this stress is thrown in, right? The holidays are supposed to be this time to relax and spend time with those we care about the most. Yet, I will be the first to admit that oftentimes they're not. The holidays can be really, really stressful, and things don't always work out the way that we want them to. And it stresses me out a lot. I'm thinking to myself, Christmas is supposed to be this time of joy, yet sometimes around Christmas, I find myself not that joyful. So I know it's not just me either. Do you guys know that one family member? You know that one family member, right? Where around the holidays, you have to see them, and it's just, oof. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then I'm sure your family loves hanging out with you. I'm sure you are not the family member, right? I'm sure it's okay. But my point is that the things that the holidays are about in our head are not always what the holidays are supposed to be about, right? It's not supposed to be about all of this stress. Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy. And the thing is that sometimes we just have bad Decembers. It's just the fact of life. We sometimes have bad Decembers. And you may honestly be going into this December thinking that you're going to have another bad one. But it does not have to be that way. It simply doesn't. So how do we have this joyous Christmas? Well, I will tell you, there is something amazing about Christmas time, and it is not the chaos of the holidays and trying to find the perfect gift and Santa Claus and the Christmas tree. It's not about any of that. It is about the good news. And the good news has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. It is the sharing of this good news that the holiday season is all about. That's actually what we're going to dial in on today, sharing the good news. You know, this season is different than every other season. There's something special about it. So why don't we share the reason that we are celebrating Christmas? I think it's a choice to share the good news, right? Because Christmas is about the good news. Everything else about Christmas is just decoration for why we are celebrating. The presents, the travel, the stress of getting through the holidays. It's all decoration for the point of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas, this is what we call the gospel. You see, the gospel is knowing that Jesus Christ came into the world to forgive us of all our sins. Knowing that we can stand blameless before God because Jesus has paid our debt. That's what Christmas is all about. That's good news. And that good news needs to be shared. I feel sometimes, personality-wise, I can be pushy, right? I don't like pushing something onto someone when they don't want to hear it. That's a stumbling block I encounter when trying to share the gospel. And then there's sometimes I miss the opportunity altogether, especially around Christmas time. We find ourselves skipping the point of the holiday, which is sharing the good news, spreading the gospel, right? This was a commandment to us, is to share the good news. We call this the Great Commission. Jesus told us to go out and spread the word. So if you miss this sharing, if you let another Christmas go by without spreading the word, then you're missing out on the joy of Christmas. Look what happened at the first Christmas. It's Luke 2:7 and Luke 2:17. An angel said to them, the shepherds that were out in the field, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So the shepherds hear this from the angels and they go and they check it out. And then this happens. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. That's Luke 2:17. Pretty simple, right? This is what it's all about. Someone told them the good news. They went and checked it out. And then they went and told other people. So, that's one of the joys of Christmas, is sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. But what gets in the way of this? Have you ever been told good news? You want to share it, right? I imagine there's countless examples. Perhaps it's a promotion that hasn't been like finalized, right? And you're like so excited to tell people what you can't yet. Or honestly, I haven't experienced this myself, but what I picture it to be is when a couple finds out they're having a kid and they haven't told their family yet, right? Like, how do you keep that in? That's such good news. And I imagine you're excited to share that, right? You're excited to tell people. I see videos go viral all the time of families that are, like, in fun, unique ways telling their parents that they're going to be grandparents and stuff. Like, there's joy in that. You want to be excited to share this good news. So why then, when it comes to sharing the gospel, do we not always have that same enthusiasm? Am I in the way? Like, how do I get out of my own way? Let's check it out. So some of you have already experienced the good news of Jesus Christ. For those of you that have, you understand what Jesus has done for you. That's why you accepted him into your life. Some of you might not have done that yet, and that is okay. That's actually great that you are here today, because we're going to talk about how we can get into this. So, first off, how do I share the good news? I think the first step is that we have to enjoy it ourselves. We have to be experiencing it and enjoying it ourselves. So, I am not going to share the good news with somebody unless I am enjoying it myself, right? Does that make sense? So, look again at what the shepherds were told by the angel at the first Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy. Here's the question. How does this good news become great joy? I think it's pretty simple. It becomes personal. Let me give an example, right? Let's say Pastor Chip gives me a call. Nate, I just won $1 million. Gee, boss, that's good news. Be sure to get your tie then. It's good news. How then does that become great joy? Well, let's say that I get a call. Nathan, you just won $1 million. Great joy. Do you see the difference? One is personal. One is directly happening to me. Christmas is personal, right? When you realize that Jesus came for you personally, and you, Christmas becomes more than just another day off. When you have the realization that Jesus came to forgive you of your sins, that you don't have to be good enough, that good news turns into great joy. It becomes personal. God is giving us this opportunity for hope. And this hope puts everything into perspective, right? It doesn't matter what problems you're having. And there's some pretty big problems people can experience, right? Anything from a flat tire or a bad day at work, all the way up to bad diagnosis, trauma, pain and loss. The hope that Jesus offers us, it gives me hope not just in my time on this world, but all the way into eternity. That's what Christmas is. You see, life can get so, so hard, but the good news that's become great joy for those of us who've accepted Jesus into our lives is that we can have a relationship with God now. We can have his daily presence in our life. We can talk to him through prayer. He can guide us through his word, the scriptures. We believe that we can have a personal relationship with God. That's amazing. That's good news. That's really, really good news, right? That's good news worth enjoying, and it is good news worth sharing. See, Psalm 107:2 says this, "All of you set free by God, tell the good news." So first, I realize that I've been set free by God, right? And then I go and tell others. It's the beauty of this verse. It's a simple cause and effect. See, if you enjoy it yourself, you first accept the good news into your heart, into your life. And if you haven't done that yet, you're going to be able to do that today. You may ask yourself, how? Well, a simple prayer. Just, you know, Lord, I ask you into my life. Thank you for this gift of forgiveness. I trust you for it. First, you accept the good news, and then you enjoy it yourself. Because I know it sometimes feels like you're not good enough. And that's kind of the beautiful part, is that you're never going to be. I am never going to earn it. I'm never going to deserve it. Yet, it is still freely given. That is good, good news. We have to enjoy that ourselves. You know, at the end of each service, we give the opportunity to give your life to Christ if that is something you are interested in. And we also have the next step table in the back corner. So at the end of the service, if you have questions about anything, there's going to be people there who are prepared to talk to you and answer any questions you might have. And if that's something you're interested in, take that step out in faith. You see, the only way I have found to really enjoy this good news is on a day-to-day basis. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. So we accept Jesus into our hearts one time, but we have to choose to enjoy it every day. Now, why is that? It's because we have this good news over here, right? And then over here, we've got all this other stuff. Yeah? Just the chaos of our daily lives. There is a lot of bad news out there. There are problems that we encounter. We do not live in perfection. We do not experience perfection. It could be anything, really. But we encounter problems. And often, these problems cause us to have bad days. They affect our mood. They affect how we act and how we then treat others, right? There's very, very legitimate and valid things that happen to people. You don't just ignore this bad news, right? I don't think that's the answer. But we have this good news that puts into perspective everything that we experience. So what do? Do we just let the bad news control how we're acting, how we feel on our bad days? Do we just ignore it and pretend like it doesn't exist? I don't think either of those are good solutions. What we have to choose to do is let the good news overwhelm the bad news. Because this good news is better than the bad news. It is so much stronger, more powerful than even the worst news we could possibly experience. Right? I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a choice that we have to make. This good news, it gives us hope. And it's so easy to focus on the bad news over the good news, but we have to choose to focus on the Jesus in our lives, right? So, let's look at this. Psalm 107:22. With joy they should tell what he has done. So, I can only find joy in the reality of what Jesus has done for me, right? So, with joy they should tell what he has done. When you're sharing the good news, you should be joyful because you've experienced this good news, right? I think you should be able to tell that someone is excited when they're telling you good news, right? I want to see it in their face, how happy they are. I want to hear it in their voice. I can actually give you a little demonstration of what I mean, right? I will perform the same sentence twice, right? One without joy and one with joy. Now, I got to warn you, I played King Lear in sixth grade Shakespeare, so I'm kind of an actor, but I've been away from it for a little bit, but we're just gonna, all right, so sentence one. There's a new Chick-fil-A on Hill Road. All right, so sentence two. There is a new Chick-fil-A on Hill Road. Yes. I think the difference is pretty apparent, right? See, in my head, the little characters I've constructed there, the first guy obviously hasn't had the chicken yet. He has simply experienced the drive-thru line and the traffic, right? But the second guy, he's joyous because his belly is full of delicious Chick-fil-A chicken, right? And as silly as that example is, I think it's a perfect one for how we're supposed to share the good news. You tell it with joy because you are excited and experiencing it yourself. Does that make sense? You want Chick-fil-A the most on Sunday, right? Why is that? That's where you start. You start by enjoying this good news yourself. There's one last thing I think we need to do if we want to share the good news well. And that final thing is to trust God. You know, it seems obvious, but trusting God can be hard sometimes. But you trust God because it's his good news. He is the one who brought it into the world, right? I certainly didn't. You certainly didn't. You know, let me ask you if this has happened to you before. You work yourself up to share the good news with one of your friends, and or maybe a family member. It could be anyone, a coworker. And you start to tell them, and it's just not coming out the way you want it to, and you feel like you're putting too much pressure on it, and the next thing you know, you're getting frustrated, and they're getting a little creeped out, and next thing you know, you're upset because you feel like you didn't do it right. You know, I think we put this pressure on ourselves, and I know I've experienced this personally. I have some of my closest friends actually don't know Jesus, and I feel the urgency to share him with them, and I find myself getting frustrated when I don't see an instant change. But the thing is I have to trust God. That is the part that I have to play. Let me remind you, when someone started sharing the good news with you, it might not have been some instant change. Praise be to God if it was. But what I have noticed is that more often than not, the way the Holy Spirit works is you have to process it, take it in, digest it. There's an old allegory people used to tell me, 40 touches, and I don't know about that, but I know the point of it is that it takes time. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit moves. But you have to trust that God is going to do the heavy lifting, right? Romans 8:25 says, if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. Wow. Don't give up. Wait patiently and confidently. Easier said than done, admittedly. I feel like oftentimes I'm not that patient. But keep trusting God, and you keep telling the good news. You keep sharing it. We have to remember what God's part is and what our part is, right? So our part is to tell others, right? That's my part. Notice how he says, tell others and not sell to others, because there is a difference. We are not supposed to be salesmen of the good news. We just tell. We share our own experiences. You are not a salesman. You are a satisfied customer, and you are experiencing what God has done for you, and you're sharing that. You should write that down. You are not a salesman. You are a satisfied customer. That's pretty good. You see, that's our part, is to just tell the good news. God's part is to change lives, right? I think sometimes we get into our own heads. I'm certainly guilty of this. Where I wake up one day, I am going to change someone's life today. No, I'm not. You are going to change someone's life today. It's not going to happen. You cannot change someone's heart or mind. That's what God does. Only God can do that. I think we put this pressure on ourselves. You have to be the one. I will convert you. Oh, I'm going to get him. I think we all have that friend where we're like, oh, one of these days, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him in church. Going to get him believing. But we're not the ones who are going to do that. And when we put this pressure on ourselves to make that happen, a few things are going to happen. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to get anxious because all that pressure is on yourself. And then that pressure is going to start to hit the other person. And then they're going to feel pressured into something that they have no idea what's happening. They're just there. And you approach them trying to share the good news with them. And it doesn't work. You have to trust God to change hearts and lives, because that's not our part to play. Our part is to just share the good news. So in closing, God does the heavy lifting, right? I promise he does. I have seen God dramatically transform people in my own life that I've known for like 5, 7, 10 years. People that I never thought would know Jesus. And now they are people that I get to look up to in my own Christian walk. God is the one who changes hearts and lives. There's a reason why 2,000 years after Jesus, we're still talking about Jesus. Right? He is the one changing hearts and minds. He changed my heart and my mind. And that, my friends, is good news worth sharing. Let's pray. Father, we are just so thankful for you this morning. And we're thankful for this good news that you've given us. I just pray that you help us to share it well, that we can experience it first ourselves and then share it with everyone we meet in your timing. And I just pray that you help us not to miss opportunities this Christmas to spread your love and your gospel. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.